tam jena tasmai si gurave namaha si chetanna manubhistam stapitam jena bhutale svayam rupa kadamayam dadati svapandantikam om namo bhagavate vasudevaya om namo bhagavate vasudevaya om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 9, Text Number 30. Javat te pat visharge, in the matter of creation, vibhajami, as I shall do it, differently. Bo, O my Lord, janam, those who are born, aviklavaha, without being perturbed. Te, your. Parikardamani, in the matter of service. Stita, thus situated. Ma, may it never be. Me, unto me. Samunada, resulting arise. Mada, madness. Aja, O unborn one. Manina, thus being thought of. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. O my Lord, the unborn, you have shaken hands with me just as a friend does with a friend, as if equal in position. I shall be engaged in the creation of different types of living entities, and I shall be occupied in your service. I shall have no perturbation, but I pray that all this may not give rise to pride as if I were the supreme. Purport. Lord Brahma is definitely situated in the humor of friendship with the Lord. Every living being is eternally related with the personality of Godhead. In one of the five different transcendental humors, namely Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya. We have already discussed these five kinds of humors in relationship with the personality of Godhead. It is clearly exhibited herein that Lord Brahma is related to the personality of Godhead in the transcendental humor of friendship. A pure devotee may be related with the Lord in any one of the transcendental humors, even in the humor of parenthood. But the devotee of the Lord is always a transcendental servitor. No one is equal to or greater than the Lord. That is the version of the Bhagavad Gita. Brahmaji, although eternally related with the Lord in the transcendental humor of friendship, and although entrusted with the most exalted post of creating different grades of living entities, is still conscious of his position, that he is neither the Supreme Lord nor supremely powerful. It is possible that some extremely powerful personality, within or without the universe, may sometimes show more power than the Lord himself. Still, the pure devotee knows that this power is a vibhuti, delegated by the Lord, and such a delegated powerful living entity is never independent. Sri Hanumanji crossed the Indian Ocean by jumping over the sea, and Lord Sri Ramchandra engaged himself in marching over the bridge, but this does not mean that Hanumanji was more powerful than the Lord. Sometimes the Lord gives extraordinary powers to his devotee, but the devotee knows always that the power belongs to the personality of Godhead, and that the devotee is only an instrument. The pure devotee is never puffed up like the non-devotee class of men, who falsely think that they are God. It is astonishing to see how a person who is being kicked by the laws of the Lord's illusory energy at every step can falsely think of becoming one with the Lord. Such thinking is the last snare of the illusory energy offered to the conditioned soul. The first illusion is that he wants to become Lord of the material world by accumulating wealth and power. But when he is frustrated in that attempt, he wants to be one with the Lord. So both becoming the most powerful man in the material world and desiring to become one with the Lord are different illusory snares. And because the pure devotee of the Lord are surrendered souls, they are above the illusory snares of Maya. Because Lord Brahma is a pure devotee, even though the first dominating deity in the material world, and therefore able to do many wonderful things, he would never, like the non-devotee with a poor fund of knowledge, have the audacity to think of becoming one with the Lord. People with a poor fund of knowledge should take lessons from Brahma when they are puffed up with the false notion of becoming God. Factually, Lord Brahma does not create the living entities. In the beginning of the creation, he is empowered to give different bodily shapes to the living entities according to their work during the last millennium. Brahmaji's duty is just to wake the living entities from their slumber and to engage them in their proper duty. The different grades of living entities are not created by Brahmaji by his capricious whims, but he is entrusted with the task of giving the living entities different grades of body so that they can work accordingly. And still he is conscious that he is only instrumental so that he may not think of himself as the supreme powerful Lord. Devotees of the Lord are engaged in the specific duty offered by the Lord, and such duties are successfully carried out without hindrance because they are ordained by the Lord. The credit of success goes not to the doer, but to the Lord. But persons with a poor fund of knowledge take the credit of success into their own accounts and give nothing to the credit of the Lord. That is the symptom of the non-devotee class of men. This is a verse which tells us about the qualifications of a true servitor of God. In our sampradaya, in our line of disciplic succession, Brahma stands first after the Lord. We see that Krishna spoke this transcendental knowledge into the heart of Brahma. Tainhe Brahma Hridaya Adi Kavaye. So we can just imagine how qualified Sri Brahmaji is to be the founder of a disciplic succession. In fact, to be the founder of that succession which Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu selected to appear in. Certainly, Brahma is highly qualified to be directly a disciple of God himself, to be directly born from God himself. He is known here as Aja. Aja means unborn. Sometimes Brahma is called Aja, because he does not take birth like an ordinary conditioned soul. There is no mother. Simply he takes birth from the lotus sprouting from the navel of the Supreme Lord Vishnu. So he has a very intimate relationship with the Supreme Lord, and that is indicated here where it says, Yavat Saka Sakyur Iveshate Krita. O my Lord, you have shaken hands with me just as a friend does with another friend. This is one of the unique aspects of our Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta, that we understand the different loving relationships which are possible with Krishna. It is not only that we are small and God is great, but here we hear that they are friends. There is a possibility of friendship. And friendship means equality, because there cannot be friendship amongst those who are not equal. As soon as there is a lack of equality, then that will tend to change the relationship to something different than friendship. So friendship is certainly amongst equals. That is why we see that amongst the Pandavas, the one who is the best friend of Krishna is Arjuna, because he is most similar in age to Krishna. Sakula and Sahadev and Nakula are younger. Bhima and Yudhisthira are elder. And therefore, it is with Arjuna that Krishna enjoys the most intimate, friendly dealings. However, although Brahma may be equal as a friend with the Lord, he never thinks himself to be so. He always thinks himself, especially here we see, that he is praying, O my Lord. So one who is equal and has simply a friendly relationship would not address the other person, O my Lord. For example, in the Bhagavad Gita, we only hear this type of address coming from Arjuna when Krishna reveals his universal form to Arjuna. Then he says, O great one. Otherwise, he is more accustomed to addressing him in friendly terms, because that is the nature of friendship, that one has loving, affectionate dealings with the other. But here there is a symptom of respect. O my Lord, O Master, O Great One, O Unborn, O Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this is certainly proper, because Brahma has undergone tapasya. In the Srimad Bhagavatam we see that Brahma meditated for many thousands of years, having received instruction to do so from the Supreme Lord. He performed severe tapasya, austerities. So, that Brahma was performing austerities indicates that he is a sadhaka. That means that he has performed regulated practices of devotional life in order to achieve perfection. And he has achieved perfection, because otherwise how is it possible that he could have shaken hands with the Supreme Lord? So, his example is very nice. He underwent tapasya. In the same way, we have to undergo tapasya. It is not possible to get free from the modes of material nature, to become free from Maya's influence, unless we are willing to undergo tapasya. Tapasya of the body, tapasya of the mind, the senses in the mind. For example, the austerity of the senses, seeing, touching, tasting, all of these have to be centered on Krishna, and the austerity of the mind, to always remember Krishna at every moment. This is Bhakti Yoga. Rishikesha Rishikenam Sevanam Bhaktir Uchate. To engage all of our senses in the service of Krishna. And this is a type of austerity. Fortunately for us, these austerities have been made very simple because of the advent of Lord Chaitanya. As we heard the other evening in the bhajan, Lord Chaitanya's movement is made up of three primary activities. What are they? Singing, dancing, and feasting. So it is not very difficult to perform such austerity, not like standing in, you know, you can imagine if you were in practicing another type of yoga, then the guru would order you, now go into the Swiss Alps and take sitting simply with a gamcha on, meditate throughout the winter on Paramatma, and know that you are not your body. Do you think it's possible? No, certainly not. It's not possible. But the yogis were doing like this. They preferred these places. They used to live up in the Himalayan mountains, and they performed very severe austerities. So that's not going to be possible for us. That type of sacrifice is not for this age. In this age, it is recommended Sankirtan Yajna. Perform the austerity of Sankirtan Yajna. And what is that Sankirtan Yajna? It is very nice. Priti Viti Achiyata Nagar Adigram Sarvata Prachara Hoibe Mora Nam. In every town and village of the world, bring the holy name of the Lord. Bring the glories of the Lord. And by the performance of Sankirtan Yajna, we will please Lord Vishnu. Which Vishnu? The original Vishnu, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Purusha, Sankirtan Yajna Purush, Bhaktaram Yajna Tapasam, Sarva Loka Maheshwaram, Suridam Sarva Dehinam, Gatramam Santim Richati. This Sankirtan Yajna has been inaugurated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And as such, we have to please him. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not pleased by dry austerities. When he went into Benares, he met with so many Mayavadi sannyasis. And they criticized, why are you singing and dancing like this? Don't you know what the business of a sannyasi is? We saw the same criticism leveled against Srila Prabhupada. When he returned to India in 1970 with his disciples, there was a program called Brahma Samaj. It was a samaj, a gathering of sadhu, sadhu samaj it was called. So all of the sadhus were of one type. You know what this means? They had tilak going like this, which means that they were Mayavadis. And we were the only ones who were like this, Vaishnavs, with our tilak this way. So they were giving long lectures. And as they were lecturing, there was about 5,000 to 10,000 people hearing. And as they were lecturing, we were watching the crowd and everybody was sleeping. Long-winded lectures. And then it came time for Prabhupada to lecture. And Prabhupada had about 15 or 20 of us there from Europe and America. And one little girl, Saraswati, the daughter of one couple. So Prabhupada, instead of lecturing, said, do kirtan. So the devotees started jumping up and down on the stage. And especially Saraswati was jumping up and down. She was jumping in the laps of the Mayavadis. And they became so flustered, they all got up and walked off the stage. And then the stage was cleared of all the Mayavadis. And devotees were dancing, and the whole crowd, everybody woke up. And not only they woke up, they all stood up. And they all started to dance. And the devotees jumped down and ran into the audience, and everyone was dancing and doing kirtan. And all the Mayavadi nonsense, you know, went away in the clouds. And then Prabhupada spoke, and instead of speaking for a long time, he only spoke for 2 or 3 minutes after long kirtan. He said, you may wonder what is the magic that I have done. He said, it is no magic. Krishna is already in the heart of every living entity. And by chanting Hare Krishna, we will come to understand Krishna is our Supreme Lord and we are all His eternal servitors. So I have done giving them the chanting of Hare Krishna, and the result you can see for yourself. There's no magic that I have worked on these foreign people. So this is actually the system. We saw how Lord Chaitanya did this. Even amongst the Buddhists, right? He went and he distributed the holy name, and then they also distributed it. There was no one who escaped the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. So, on the order of Lord Chaitanya, for the pleasure of Lord Chaitanya, we go from village to village, town to town, and we distribute the glories of the holy name through the means of transcendental book distribution. Prabhupada said, the book can go where no one else can go. It goes into the farthest reaches, into the deepest crevices. It goes everywhere. This transcendental knowledge seeps in. So we have to push these books like anything. And this will please the Yajna Purush. This will please the person who is the recipient of this sacrifice, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And this is austerity. There is austerity in performance of Sankirtan. Now we are just beginning. Some of us are still feeling tired. And yet the whole marathon is about to begin. And we have to ready ourselves for an entire month of austerities. More and more hours we will go out. But what is the nature of this austerity? It is simply blissful. It is simply blissful. There is no pain as there is in other types of austerity. We see there is no disturbance in the mind for the devotees when they perform this austerity. The result is blissful. The activity is blissful, and the result is blissful. So it is not this dry austerity of the Mayavadis. So Brahma has prayed for boon. First of all, he says that, my Lord, in the process of creation, his austerity is that he has to create so many living entities. Not only create them, he has to maintain them also. And they create a lot of problems. You can imagine what it is like if you had to consider all of the conditioned souls and what their needs are and find a suitable body for them. Just like we go out on Sankirtan and we meet so many conditioned souls. And to distribute a book, you have to associate with them a little bit, get a little bit of an idea of what they're like. And it's not very pleasant, but we do just enough. We find out just enough in order to make them take a book. But Brahma has to find out so much to give them a body. We're only giving them a book. He has to give them a body. It's a very difficult task. He has to know what they are and how many of them. Who can count the number of living entities in existence? And he's responsible for them all. And after they get their bodies, many of them are not satisfied. They go on strike. They complain. You see so many demons start to harass the devotees. And all of this news comes to Brahma that on such and such planet this is going on. And such, and Brahma is trying to meditate on Krishna. Just like when you imagine, you see sometimes the temple administrator, maybe temple president or GBC man, suddenly a phone call comes, or a fax comes, or some devotee comes while he's, and the devotee and the president or GBC is trying to chant japa with the sannyasi, right? And someone says, psst, 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 this problem, and he has to fix his mind despite all these problems. And Brahma, can you imagine what his position is like? He has to fix his mind despite receiving all this information. And yet, what does he say? He says here, I shall have no perturbation. I will not be disturbed. Because it is said, Krishna bhakti nishkam ataiva shanta bhukti mukti siddhikami sakale ashanta. Nishkam ataiva shanta. He says, a devotee who does devotional service is always peaceful. Why? Because he's fixed in remembrance of Krishna. Until we become fixed in remembrance of Krishna, it can be very easy to disturb us. The whole process of Krishna consciousness is to rivet and fix, bolt the mind onto the lotus feet of Krishna. So that under all circumstances we remain undisturbed, just like Bhakta Prahlad. Even he was being threatened with death, tormented by persons who wanted to kill him. Peaceful. He never said, oh, Krishna, save me. He didn't even pray to Krishna to save him. He just went on chanting. So a devotee has to become so fixed up that under all circumstances, ahoy tuki apratihata yayatma suprashidati, that he will be undeterred, always fixed in Krishna consciousness. This is the result of bhakti yoga. Not jnana yoga, not karma yoga, not astanga yoga. These will make one all ashanta, confused. Why? Because desires come in the heart. What is the cause of disturbance? Material desires. As long as material desires remain in your heart, you can't be peaceful. You have to find, and at the end, you have to take another birth. So the process of Krishna consciousness is to gradually purify ourselves of all desires. Cheto darpana majanam param bijayate si Krishna sankirtanam. The purpose for which we are doing sankirtan is to cleanse the heart of all material desires. And this is why the spiritual master engages us in the Sankirtan Yajna. This is why Srila Prabhupada established book distribution as the primary means for performing Sankirtan in this age. Because in order to do book distribution, every bit of our energy has to be utilized. Every devotee in the temple has to be practically engaged. It may be in some backup service, the deity worship, the cooking, the office work, but all of these are to maintain the Sankirtan army. All of our energy is utilized, so that there's no time for any separate desires. And this is why we should make the spiritual master's order our life and soul. Srila Prabhupada has given to all of his disciples this simple instruction, that if you want to please me, then distribute books, distribute books, distribute books. And his disciples, having understood this, they are repeating this instruction to their disciples. If you want to please me, distribute books, distribute books, distribute books. Why? Because it is not for some selfish reason that Prabhupada gave this order. He knows very well that this giving of transcendental knowledge is the way that the conditioned soul's sins will be removed. It is due to ignorance that people commit sins. But when they get a book full of so much knowledge, their ignorance is driven away. And in doing this, our ignorance also becomes driven away. When we know that our business is to save all the conditioned souls on this planet, we know that there is not a moment to rest. Srila Prabhupada said that we will work and work and work until all the living entities here are liberated. And if we can do that in our lifetime, then by that Krishna will have so much empowered us that we will be able to go on to another planet and begin there. Of course, we do not think it will be so easy. But still we are trying. Now, Brahma says, I'm not worried about disturbance of the mind. My mind is fixed on what my service is. I know you are my guru and I know what you want me to do. You want me to create. But what I am afraid of is pride. Because you are such a great person. And I have such a, and you have given me such a great task. And you have empowered me with the ability to fulfill that task that there is every chance I may become puffed up. And this is actually the greatest fear a devotee has, because it is said, pride comes before the fall. You see, in our Vedic literatures, so many examples of persons who became proud and what happened to them. Can anyone name some examples? Durvasa Muni became proud, he offended Maharaj Ambarish and fell down. Who else? Daksha Maharaj offended Lord Shiva. Because of his pride, he thought, who is this Shiva? No one can compare with me. I am a Prajapati. I am a progenitor. I am a great person. He fell down. Who else?
Indra.
Indra, who thinks I am a big controller. He fell down. Who else? Well, that's not exactly a good example. Rahugana. He was also a little proud. That's maybe so. We can see in our own movement now, not only in history, but in our own movement, there were so many prominent persons. But some of them are no longer present. Why? Because of pride. Because of immaturity. What is the common thing which all proud persons have in common? They think that they are the doer. They have forgotten that whatever their accomplishment was, it was by the grace of Krishna. On the other hand, we have great examples like Arjuna. You remember what happened to Arjuna? He was fighting in the Battle of Kurukshetra. No one could stand up against him. No one. Not even Bhishma, not even Karna, not even Dronacharya. Nobody. Persons who were superior to him, he defeated. They were superior to him. It's not that Arjuna was the best. He was the best devotee, but he was not the best in terms of military abilities. There were others who were better, but he defeated them. And then, after all was done, and even after Krishna left this planet, Arjuna was entrusted to bring Krishna's queens, to take them from one city to another. And what happened? Some cowherd men, some farmers, stopped them on the road, and Arjuna found his bow and arrows, and he could do nothing with them. And he could not even prevent them from taking away the queens. He, who had defeated tens of thousands of men in battle, who had defeated all the Maharathis, could not protect Krishna's queens against some farmers. Of course, there's a reason behind this, that those farmers were all manifestations of Krishna himself. Otherwise, it was not possible. But immediately Arjuna thought and knew that whatever strength I had, it was all given to me by Krishna. So this is a devotee's realization. And this keeps a devotee very humble. Humility is the most important quality of a Vaishnava. Srila Prabhupada's foremost qualification, so humble. Never taking credit for anything. Always giving credit to his Guru Maharaj. Always seeing Krishna as the doer. And seeing himself just being moved about. Just like in that prayer that Prabhupada wrote aboard the Jaladuta on the way to America. And he said that, "My Lord, if you wish, you can do this. You can make it possible for me to preach to these persons. Otherwise, I see how they are so entrapped in Maya. It is not possible for me. But if you want, you can make me dance. You can make me dance. You can make me dance." So we have to pray like this every day now when we go out on Sankirtan. "Oh, my Lord, oh, my spiritual master, oh, Supreme Lord, Personality of Godhead," or calling out to all of the persons who are dear to us, not only our initiating guru, but all the persons who in our life have influenced us in a positive way since we have become devotees, and praying to them, "Oh, great personalities, if you like, make me dance, make me dance, make me dance. Please use me as an instrument." And praying in this way, we place ourselves in the field of the sacrifice, Sankirtan field of sacrifice, and Krishna then, and Krishna's devotees then, will empower us. So it is so important during this time now, especially because there is some competition, which Srila Prabhupada himself encouraged, competition between one devotee and another. But what are we competing for? Not to be glorified. I remember I was so much appreciating about 2 or 3 years ago in Mayapur. There were the Sankirtan Awards, and I was sitting next to Rohini Sutta Prabhu. And somehow, whoever the master of ceremony was saying so many glorifying things, and Rohini Sutta Prabhu was simply sitting next to me saying, "This is not good. This is not good. I said, I don't like this." And he wasn't the only glorifying him. He was also glorifying Rohini Sutta Prabhu's men from this zone, and he kept saying, "This is not good. We don't like to hear this." And I was thinking, I never saw anyone respond this way before. I have been at so many Sankirtan meetings, and there's always a certain amount of pride that comes in the heart. But I was so much impressed to see this mood. So I think that this is actually the transcendental mood that one must have. In other words, when we compete, what are we competing for? Just like we see the cowherd boys. They also have a competition. Who will go and touch Krishna first? And they run and run and run. They see Krishna as he comes out of Nanda Bhavan, out of the house of his father. And all the cowherd boys rush towards Krishna to touch him. And what is the purpose of their doing so? Now you can say, because just Krishna is the giver of all transcendental bliss. But actually, they're doing this to give pleasure to Krishna. It is a subtle point, but it is a fact. Just like the gopis. The gopis have the same idea. That they think that I will beautify my body. Why? Now, normally a girl will beautify her body to attract a boy. But and she will get so much satisfaction if the boy finds her very attractive and embraces her. But actually the gopis are not thinking like this. They're thinking that our beauty will give pleasure to Krishna. And this is how all the devotees in Vrindavan are thinking. How can we please Krishna? Because they have love. Love is different than lust. Lust means, how can I become pleased? How can I become glorified? How much can I be great? But love means, how can I glorify and please and that person who is actually great, in this case, Lord Krishna, or our spiritual master, or those who are dear to us. How can they become pleased with my activity? So this is the difference between love and lust. It is a big difference. We have to see that. Just like you should know, because otherwise when you read, you will always think that they want to be pleased. The cowherd boys are thinking of their own pleasure. The gopis are thinking of their own pleasure. But it is not like that. Just like sometimes when you have a guest in your home. Supposing a guest comes to your home and you know he has a favorite food which he likes to eat. Say, masapan. Right? He likes to eat masapan. So, you know, if you say, oh, today I have gotten so much masapan and I have bought it for you. Many varieties. Then he will think, this is not good. Of course, if he's a nice Vaishnava, he will say, why did you do that? You should not do that for me. I don't want to take service. Of course, we may not be able to say, oh, very good, I'm glad that you bought all this matzapan. But actually, one should not say that. He should think that, you should not have done this for me. Just like Sanatana Goswami was very upset when Rupa Goswami made so many arrangements for cooking and Srimati Radharani herself assisted. He became very much upset because a devotee does not want to take service. He wants to give service. So the host should say instead that today I have bought so many varieties of matzapan to offer to my deity. There's a difference. Then the devotee will think, oh, that is very nice. Now, actually, he said, I bought so many varieties of matzapan because I like to eat them. Actually, he knows that his guest likes to eat them, but he says, I bought them for myself. So from the outside, we may hear this and think, oh, this person is thinking of his own enjoyment. But actually within, the host is thinking, how can I give pleasure to this guest I have? In the same way, the gopis are saying, oh, Krishna, place your lotus feet upon us. Oh, the cowherd boys are thinking, oh, Krishna, do this to us. But actually, they're thinking that by your placing your lotus feet upon us, or by your doing it, you will get pleasure. We know how you become pleased. So this is the loving mood that the devotees have. And similarly, when we do Sankirtan and when there is a competition, it is not with our own pleasure in mind. But we are thinking, this will give so much pleasure. If I defeat everybody else here, they'll all become so pleased. And the spiritual master will become so pleased. And Prabhupada will become so pleased. And Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu will become so much pleased. And that is my pleasure, to give them pleasure. This is because in the mood of Sankirtan competition, it is a little bit just like we see the warriors. They like to fight. And if someone exhibits a very valiant mood, that gives greater pleasure. Even if you get defeated, you become pleased to see such brilliant fighting arrangements. So by seeing wonderful Sankirtan behavior on the part of the devotees, we don't mind being defeated. We like to be defeated in that way. Just like when the cowherd boys rush to touch Krishna and one touches him first, all the others become more pleased. They become pleased. That person who touched first did so to give them pleasure and give Krishna pleasure. That is why he was racing so fast. So in Sankirtan competition, we are trying to distribute more and more and more books to give pleasure to all of those. And we are meditating on all of those persons. We're meditating on our spiritual master. We're meditating on our fellow devotees who are also distributing. We are meditating on Prabhupada's order. And we know all of them will derive so much pleasure. So this will make us in a proper position. This will keep us humble. To always see ourselves as the servant of 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 the servant. Not that we think, I am great, I am empowered. Never, never. We only think, if I am so fallen, I should just be an object of all of their mercy. So Brahma's example is nice. We can remember it today. Remember this point about how to be in proper mood of transcendental competition. So we will stop here. Anyone have anything to add? Sachinandan Maharaj? Rahani Sutta Prabhu? Sankirtan Maharatis. So then, any questions today? Otherwise, we'll stop early. Oh, there is a question.
This question is in reference to tapasya. You were describing how Lord Brahma performed the tapasya as there was a result that Krishna was very pleased with him to reveal himself. Now, I wonder what is the place of tapasya in our movement. You said the Mahaprabhu Yajna is sankirtan. Is there also, should a devotee also think about controlling the mind and the senses? What place does this kind of tapasya take in the sankirtan yajna?
Yeah, it does, because all it's just like Prabhupada explains what was Arjuna's tapasya. Arjuna's tapasya was to somehow shoot his arrows in such a way to defeat all of the opponents. And that automatically controlled his senses. In the same way, when we go on Sankirtan, we don't have to worry about now my mind, now my senses. We simply have to think, where is the next book going? Where is the next book going? Where is the next book? And automatically the senses become controlled. In the performance of Sankirtan, all of the aspects of yoga, dhyana, right, meditation, fixing the mind, the control of the senses, the control of the tongue, the austerity of speech, everything becomes perfectly in line. So we should simply think, as Arjuna thought, that the arrows must all hit their mark. The book distributor simply thinks, now the next book must go out, and the next book. And he doesn't think beyond that. Just like Arjuna, when they were being trained for archery, and the training teacher, Dronacharya, said, now everybody must, you know, see the target of the bird in the tree. And then he asked, what do you see? What do you see? I see a bird in a tree. I see a bird. I see this. And Arjuna said, I see the eye of the bird. That's all I see. I don't see the tree. I don't see the bird. I only see the eye of the bird. So similarly, the devotee simply thinks, I simply see the next person who's taking the book. I don't see anything else. I don't know where I am. I don't know what else is there. I don't know what other people on the street. I only see the next person to whom these books are going. And when they get it, then I see for the next person. Where are these books? These books are crying out for their new home. They're all crying, and I'm holding a bundle of crying babies. They all want, you know, to get some father and mother to take them. So I'm simply looking, and here they are, here now, take them. And actually we feel like that when we're handing them the books. We feel like we're entrusting the most, you know, wonderful and valuable of all things into their hands. And we tell them, be nice to these books. Just like, be nice to this baby. Take this book home, read it. It will give you so much. Later on in your life, it will look after you, just like when a child grows up. Any other questions? That you should ask Hari Namananda and Navina. But I think that as far as we can, we should do so. But Arjuna also had to employ many tricks sometimes. So sometimes it will not be possible to do so. If you can speak about Krishna in a certain circumstance, very good. If you cannot, then somehow get them to take the book, because the book will speak about Krishna. Just like when you speak with Prabhadananda Swami, he's a very blissful devotee. He said, I never speak about Krishna in Sankirtan. He said that to me once. I hardly speak about Krishna. That is best. But in certain circumstances, people are not so receptive, and you cannot speak about Krishna. Therefore, you should meditate on Krishna within your mind, directly meditating on Krishna and Guru and Vaishnavas, and then let anything come out of your mouth. It doesn't matter. Just like one time we were doing Sankirtan in India. That is called life membership. So we went into one man's office, and this man was drunk. So we went there and we said, now please become our life member. And he said, oh. He said, you know how hot it is outside? We knew very well how hot it was outside. We were coming from, you know, so hot. It was 43 degrees out there, you know, very hot. So he said, I feel so sorry for you young boys. going out there. And he said, I want to see you cool down. So, you know, we told him, if you become our life member, we'll be very cooled down. Just, you know, sign the check and we'll be happy. He said, no. Before I will give you a check, that you should first take a bath by pouring this soda pop on your head. Soda, you know, drinking soda, like 7-Up. So, you know, he was drunk. So we were just trying to say anything, but finally we had to do that. We had to take soda and pour it on our heads. So the whole time in our mind, we're simply thinking of Prabhupada. Prabhupada will be pleased that we made another life member. So we didn't care whatever was happening. Soda was poured on our head. Similarly, you may have to say so many things on Sankirtan. But within your mind, you're remembering your spiritual master's order. And this is as good as speaking about Krishna. If you're in such a nice circumstance that you can talk directly about Krishna, very good. And there are circumstances sometimes in some countries where it may be possible. But in other circumstances where it's not possible, Prabhupada once was talking to Tripurari. Tripurari was saying, yes, I got this lady to take a book. She said, does this book tell about the, what was that? About the energy crisis or something. And he immediately said, yes, it's all about that. And Prabhupada became very pleased. He said, yes. Prabhupada said, in selling a product, the salesman has to say so many things. But in this case, we're not cheating them. We are not cheating them. Because this product is actually what everybody needs. And occasionally someone discovers it's not what they thought it was. And then they return the books. Well, that's all right. They got a chance. But generally people like it. That is their experience overall. They don't feel dissatisfied. It is a very nice book. And it's not some bogus thing. It's full of interesting stories, knowledge, beautiful paintings. Yeah, we're not cheating anyone. To some extent, they know what they're getting. Generally, people see a book. They look a little bit. They see the Sanskrit or something, or see pictures. They're not ignorant about the subject. They have some idea of what it is. No, even in surrendering, we are not to do it. Even in surrendering, it is only by Krishna's mercy that we can surrender. Otherwise, we have no ability to surrender. We are so puffed up, we have no humility. We have no sincerity. So we will have to get humility and sincerity from our spiritual master and the Vaishnavas. I don't think we have any, at least I have no good qualities. I know I have no good qualities. And whatever is anything worthwhile within me was given to me by Prabhupada and his devotees. So I don't think I have any ability on my own to surrender. Rather, I try not to surrender. My disqualification, my misfortune is that I try not to surrender. But my spiritual master and the devotees are so kind to me, they're forcing me to surrender. Just like this morning, I couldn't sleep past 1 o'clock this morning. And I didn't want to give this class, but I was simply thinking of Guru Shakti and how he would heavy me out if I told him, get someone else to give it. He said, no, I knew he was going to give me many arguments why I should give the class. I even tried to phone him. So then, finally, I thought I have to surrender and give the class. So I didn't want to give, but he forced me to give. Even he didn't say anything. Just thinking about him, I was fearful. So this is a mercy. This is why we should not practice Krishna consciousness alone. This is the reason why we are much more fortunate to practice Krishna consciousness by being closely associated. We should keep very nice friendship with the devotees, very close friendship, because the devotees will help us in every respect. Without the devotees, nobody can make any advance. And therefore, Prabhupada said, it is an illusion to think that you can become Krishna conscious outside of ISKCON. It's not possible. Simply impossible. And we have seen anyone who tries to do this, who is not closely associating with the devotees, develops so many, he doesn't develop, but he keeps so many unwanted things in the heart. But when you live amongst the devotees, you cannot keep unwanted things in the heart. They immediately become exposed. And either you get purified of them or something will happen. As long as we think of ourselves as the enjoyer, this is not the right attitude. We should, love means to think of another person's enjoyment. Love means to think of the person who you love's enjoyment. That is the more pure position of a servant. So even thinking of enjoying spiritual happiness is not the highest position. Narayana Parta Sarve Nakutas Jena Bibhate Swarga Pavarga Narake Shapit Huliyata Darshina. Lord Shiva has spoken this verse that, my dear Devi, Parvati, just see the position of the Vaishnava. Even in going to hell, he is happy because he can engage in the service of the Lord. So we should not think in terms... You see, Kubja. In Mathura, Kubja. What is her kama praya? Kama praya means that her feelings for Krishna were not like the gopis. Almost. Praya means almost. The gopis have kam. Kam means lust, but not material lust. They have the desire to enjoy, to give satisfaction to Krishna's lust. And Krishna's lust is love. But Kubja had a different thing. It's kama praya. What is the difference? It's almost like the gopis. What's the difference? She had some selfish desire to enjoy herself. She wanted Krishna to satisfy her. So it is not on the level of the gopis. So as long as there is this type of selfishness, even for spiritual enjoyment, it is not pure. Now you may say, I don't understand. Okay, you don't understand. You will understand in time. Don't expect to understand everything at our stage. At our stage, we only have our intelligence to understand with. We are going to require some superior intelligence. We require the mercy of Bhakti Devi, the mercy of Srimati Radharani, the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu. When that mercy descends upon us, then we will understand these things in the right way. For now, we can just sort of get a hazy idea of what it's all about. Some things cannot be fully understood at our stage. And some things can never be fully understood. And that means Krishna's God. Because if Krishna could be fully understood, then he wouldn't be God. One of the qualities or qualifications of God, he's inconceivable. One of the qualifications of bhakti, it's inconceivable. Some things cannot be completely understood. We can just sense them a little bit. So, I thank you all for the chance to again come here. I pray that I can again be in this association in the coming future, and that's my prayer, that I get your association again in the future. Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Sankirtan Yagna Marathon ki.
Jai.
Go Prema Nandi Hari Hari Bol.